I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 6 p.m. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be at Lady Jane's Haircuts, the Watson and Lindbergh from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Emo's Pizza, chances to win Charlie Daniels band tickets and specials on haircuts and shaves and things like that. Again, that's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. What else? Tomorrow we're here. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday we're gone, going to Atchison, Kansas to do the Halloween taping at the Sally House. And Tony's going to do the show along with Bo Matthews. And that's about it. Tim Convey hanging out with us.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Sorry, I got bumped for hosting the show.
Oh, that's okay.
That's all right. Tony went to Steve Moore and he's like, look.
He's like, I quit if you let that guy host.
No, I look forward to listening. I think it'll be a good show.
He said, I would like to be the one to host. And Steve Moore said, well, what if Convey co-hosted? And he said, what if we just got Bo Matthews? So it didn't go great for you.
Whatever. I'm going to earn my keep by really knocking this segment out of the park.
So good. Yeah.
Hang on just, tight, everybody.
Yeah, shove it in their face.
Yeah.
This is what you could have had.
Right.
Can I talk about it like a real topic? We usually kind of jack around with you. Are you guys familiar with this story about the couple who've had their four-year-old taken away because he has leukemia? And
are they refusing to treat him?
They wanted to treat. So the diagnosis was 90% of the time with traditional chemotherapy, we can get a kid like this in remission in 3 months.
Okay.
And they said, no, we want to treat him with cannabis, CBD, and like dietary stuff. Mm-hmm. And the court said no. And so they took him and left. And they caught him and they took the kid away from the parents. And he's now, officially a ward of the state. They don't have custody. They don't have legal rights. And he's undergoing the chemotherapy and getting better. But he's, he's 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And he's going through chemotherapy and his parents aren't there. As crazy as they may be. Mm-hmm. And so the court has ordered psychological evaluations of the parents because there's been some family members come forward and say, hey, they're crazy. Mm-hmm. It's not just this. Obviously really complicated. It's case by case. But just your general thoughts on this kind of thing.
Man, I'd have a tough time coming down on the side of the parents in this case. But you're right, it is case by case. The only exception I would really make, I hate government intrusion, first of all. So I don't like the idea that they would jump into a personal matter. But if the kid's going to die, it's a really tough case. The only area that I would say, I'd have a tough time taking the kid from if it was a religious objection. Like if it was a serious, not just crazy idea, but look, we have a problem with this, with our beliefs.
That happens then, quite a lot with Christian Scientists.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which it's still tough to say, let them die just because they have a religious objection. But I really hate the idea of the state stepping into everything, especially crossing that boundary.
Maybe I'm optimistic and I tend to maybe want to think the best of the system sometimes and I shouldn't, but I gotta think that if they're going through all this and courts and everything else, the doctors are saying very clearly and plainly, this is an easy thing we can do to save this life or this kid can die, and that's why we are where we are. You mm-hmm. don't hear about things like this often, and I know there are a lot of nut job parents out there, so I gotta think this is a situation where it's life or death, it's real easy, there's no need to object to this, we're gonna not it out, and I'm glad that it's happening. In religious objection and whatever, if it's a life or death thing and doctors go, hey, this isn't we're going to cross our fingers and hope for this, like Dave said, 90% that they can put it in remission in 3 months, I think it's a good thing.
I get it. I'm not against it.
Yeah. Ryan, not from a personal standpoint, but from a logical legal standpoint, why would you put a religious person over a non-religious person who simply said, I think that chemotherapy or whatever the treatment happens to be is bad for my child, and I'm a believer that if he eats enough fiber, he can beat this thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And really, I don't think I would. Really, there's no hard line with this question. There, you could bring a different case to me, and I would have a completely different opinion. But it seems to me, and you could tell me if this is wrong, that from a legal standpoint, isn't it that if you're a part of a tiny little thing and you say, oh, I have a religious objection to this, I made up a religion, it's the worship of the turtle, and we don't believe in that, that that doesn't stand in court versus if you're a part of an established, obvious, large religion, you have more of a standing?
Well, I think that it's not so much a test of how many parishioners do you have. I think it's more, does the court, does the finder of fact believe that you're committing some sort of fraud?
Mm-hmm.
Well, although I will say that I think that that is a very slippery slope, that because there are a billion Catholics and there's only 50,000 of these guys, I don't think that should matter at all.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really... I'm a big fan of a big separation, but something like that, I think it's more about, like you said, I worship the purple turtle. He lives in my backyard. And a finder of fact can say, you're just trying to pull one over on us, or you're crazy. But if there were a million people who worship the purple turtle, is he any less crazy?
I think what I'm trying to hit on is more the genuineness of the objection. So if it is,
yeah, but
just,
you're basing that on numbers of people who believe that.
No, I'm not. That's sort of where I started, but I'm evolving as we're talking because I don't know really what my position is. I think what I'm saying is, if it's a strong position, if it's these people and they don't seem crazy, first of all, because case by case, if they're crazy, they're crazy. You got to protect the kid. But if they don't, and they're like, look, we really, really. We've done a lot of testing with this. We've done stuff in our own lives that we've healed things in our own family using herbs and so forth. And they're genuine about it. We really think this is what's going to be best for our child. That's tough for me for the state to step in and say, yeah, but we know better.
Yeah, but why does the genuineness of the belief matter if the end result is the same? The child's going to die. I really don't care what's in your heart at that point. I think it's totally different if you're 18 years old and you're deciding to opt out of treatment because you believe CBD oil is going to fix it. But when an innocent child, it's not even like, well, it's their kid. That child is innocent. They didn't pick their parents, mm-hmm. and they didn't pick to have this disease. So if we have a way of a 90% chance of healing the child, I'm totally fine with the government stepping in this situation. Because to me, it's like, oh, but they are genuine. The kid still died, but they genuinely believed in their heart that they weren't supposed to help him. That doesn't matter to me.
And we're looking at it, you know, this situation is a disease, but what if it was, what if somebody was like, we believe in intermittent fasting for our four-year-old, so we're not feeding
right.
him for several days at a time. Everyone would go, no,
mm-hmm.
you can't do that. It doesn't matter how much you believe in all this, whatever. We would step in and expect people to step in.
Well, change the circumstance away from this one. 90% chance the kid's going to die if you don't do the treatment. Okay, I get it. What if it's a 30% chance? Does that change it for you guys?
For me, the facts in the case are we have a 90% success rate. You're stupid if you don't take those odds. When the odds go down, then maybe it makes more sense. Like if it's riskier to do a surgery that might save them, you know, I understand getting into all that stuff. But to me, 90% is a huge number that can't be ignored. And I think you are dumb if you don't
go for it. I'm
talking
out of ignorance here because I don't know a great deal about Christian Science. Maybe someone from Christian Science could tweet us and let us know. I know that they believe in prayer as opposed to medical intervention. And I do not mean this to be offensive because Christian Science people cut themselves. If you really gash yourself or if you break a bone, do you not go to the emergency room? Because God will heal it. And if you do, why do you? Because if it's something internal that you can't see or it's not emergent, that you're not going to bleed out, you know, in 10 minutes or you're not going to suffer with a you know, yeah, a green stick, broken bone.
Where's the line?
Compound
for treatment?
Fracture. Yeah, that's where I have trouble with things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, we don't, and I'm not saying that this is the way it is, but I'm sure there's someone out there who does believe this. Look, if we don't believe in medical intervention, unless I'm really bleeding, and
right.
then I'm going to go to the emergency room and have a doctor stitch me up.
I can tell you what Wikipedia says. It says the church does not require that Christian scientists avoid all medical care. Adherents use dentists, optometrists, obstetricians, physicians for broken bones, and vaccination when required by law, but maintains that Christian Science prayer is most effective when not combined with medicine.
That's a pretty gray area then. I mean, they're leaving it pretty open. That almost sounds like Catholicism, like,
yeah.
Premarital sex is bad, but do your best. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is what it sounds like. You know, it'll probably work better if you don't go to the doctor, but no one's going to judge you if you do.
Right, which is healthier than if they were
Then it's just a continuum to snake handlers.
Yeah, where do you...
Who
yeah.
typically die of snake bites.
Mm-hmm.
It happens all the time.
Isn't Val Kilmer all caught up in this?
In
Isn't
what?
He a Christian scientist and he's real know. Sick right now?
Val Kilmer's a Christian scientist?
I think so. Mm. I think he's at death's door, too.
Oh my gosh, Val.
You may be putting a lot of fake news out there right
I
now.
I may be.
He just did an appearance for the Top Gun sequel, which he's in. So he had some throat issues.
I saw some, yeah,
it
that's what it was.
It was pretty bad for a while, for sure, but I know that he was just out promoting the Top Gun sequel.
He is a Christian scientist.
Wow.
Slam dunk.
Let's see if he's dying. Val Kilmer, death's door.
Boy, he and Cruise then in that Top Gun, I mean, that's a religious pair between Scientology
yeah.
and...
Yeah, that's quite a battle.
They truly are each other's wingmen.
Do you think, again, this is picking on people's religion, but, you know, Tom Cruise is a smart guy, and you don't get higher into Scientology than him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, your gut, do you think he believes any of it? Because, like... Most of the people who've gotten all the way up, and then you're like, okay, Xenu, and he lives, you know, he's in a cage, but we're not going to show you. They're like, holy effing,
right.
I can't believe I just wasted decades of my life and hundreds of thousands of dollars. He obviously knows there's no Xenu. Do you think that he's just going along because he's got it made?
No, my gut is that part of him believes it. My gut is that, I mean, from a very young age, he's been... Tom Cruise, and can probably convince himself of different things. I don't know. Does he believe in Xenu? I don't know, but I think he's buying into some of it. I really do. I don't think he and Travolta are like winking at each other like, do you believe we've got
right.
all these people? I do not think that's the case.
I understand why you believe stuff like that on the way up the ladder, because there's this payoff, like, just wait. I know it seems crazy now, and it costs a lot of money, but just you wait. But I don't understand... When you get to the top and realize, oh, you fooled me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's not making any money on it or anything, because you could see how the leaders.
I don't know.
I'm sure he is.
I think there's benefits to it for sure for him. Yeah.
For me, I'm sure it's like, you know, self-help people who get to a certain level and they got there by like the power of positivity. And it did work for them. A lot of luck happened along the way, too, and things had to fall into place. But I get why they continue to preach the power of positivity when they get to the top. I don't necessarily know if that's the cure-all for your life, but that's how they got there. So why wouldn't they keep leaning in?
I agree with that. He's
because it's based on an alien living on a mountain in a cage.
But it worked for them.
Yeah. No, I think they're... I believe with that. I mean, he's incredibly successful and has been for... I mean, unrivaled career and a great sense of self-importance. So it would make sense to me that he thinks he's a little smarter than everybody else. That people like that typically do. Everybody's telling Tom Cruise how great he is. I mean, he's done things that no one's ever been able to do. So I think he can convince himself of those things. I'm a little smarter, so I get the Xenu thing.
Mm-hmm.
All these other people don't get it. I'm Tom Cruise.
I have a question. Why is Xenu in a cage? Isn't he God?
I'm not sure.
Okay. But he is in a cage.
It's been a long, long time since I looked into Xenu.
Okay. I thought you would know off the top of your head.
That was my understanding. Was that that's the final step is you get to go visit Xenu and you look at him and
put some money in his commissary.
Do you know that story when I used to make fun of it a lot? This is years and years ago, probably 12 years ago. And we walked out one night, me and Tom. I went out one way and he went out the other. And two scientists were waiting for us and played really ugly. They were really ugly with us. And so I, being me, invited him on the show, a man and a woman. You guys all know this story. Wiggins may not. And so we had a pretty good debate, and it was clear that the woman was in charge. And I kept saying Xenu. And I said, I understand you guys can't even say it. And they're like, oh, Pshaw. And I said, well, then say it. And the guy's like, I don't feel like saying it. And I'm like, wow. This is a bunch of crap. You can't even say Xenu. And here's exactly how it went down. This is exactly what he did. He is Xenu. And the woman snapped her head at him like, what did you just do? And yeah, it was one of the top 10 moments in the Glover show.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The only complaint call I've ever gotten for anything I've ever done on radio that wasn't a misunderstanding was I made a very simple Scientologist joke. Like, wasn't even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a whole bunch of calls and stuff. And I've never, it's the only time I've ever experienced anything like that. I mean, it's pretty light fare over there on Y90, but this person was heated up.
But you know what? If you're a Scientologist, if you have any sense at all, you should get why people talk about your religion and have questions about it, especially over the past few years and on television shows about it and upper people coming out. That's what gets me.
You're absolutely right.
That's what gets me. It's like if I made up a religion, which this guy did in the 60s, if I had done that and had some crazy stuff, and people leaving and saying that they were abused, and you talked about it on your radio show, I may not like it, but I wouldn't be like, I can't believe you are questioning or criticizing my church.
Right. Well, it's the same as Catholicism. Like, you get it when people, you know, having grown up Catholic.
Tim Jones says,
I get it.
Scientology, same as Catholicism. That's
Tim
all
Comey.
We need.
That's Tim Comey.
No, Tim Jones said it, actually.
Welcome back, DGS. Tim Comey with us from Y98. You a Rush guy at all?
Not big time, no. Yeah. Like, it's fine. I'll leave it on the radio, but I've never dived in. It's just not my favorite.
It's become, I don't know what it would be, a meme or a trope or whatever with me when, and I've told the story before, I always feel like I need to say that because these guys hear it so much more than you, but being in the 10th row of a Rush concert, realizing, oh, you are not a Rush fan compared to these gentlemen.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, I can see that. Lord, yeah.
Yeah.
Nick and I went, we were in the 10th row center, and I was surrounded by big guys. They're all bigger than me, more muscular than me. I didn't anticipate this. And they're all playing air drums. And I am a drummer. And about the third song, the guy next to me, not in a threatening way, just in an exasperated way, looked at me and he goes, dude, are you even a fan of the band? And I said to him, I thought I was when I walked in, but I'm really not sure.
Specifically because you weren't air drumming?
Because I do this at concerts. Yeah. I'm bobbing along. I'm really enjoying it. It's the first time I've seen Rush live. But these guys were just losing their damn minds.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, it's like if you as a Catholic kid would have gone to a fundamentalist evangelical speaking in tongues Bible camp,
right,
you'd have been like, I thought I loved Jesus when I pulled in the driveway, but
this is something else.
I'm not sure I do.
Yep, I know what you mean.
I think these guys got me beat.
Uh-huh.
So, anyhow. Rachel, you have things?
Yeah. I wanted to share a fun, adorable fact that I saw on the internet earlier today. Are you gentlemen familiar with the 1983 thriller Cujo?
Oh, yeah.
Dog? Yes. So, I just thought this was cute and I wrote it down. So they used four dogs whenever they were filming Cujo, because they always do that with animals. You need multiples. And they had to tie their tails down with fishing wire to make them look more menacing, because all the dogs kept wagging their tails the whole time. They were having a good time. I wish they would have left it in like that. Like the scary dog is like, just thought it was cute.
I like that.
I've heard that book is terrifying.
It's Stephen King, right?
Yeah.
Bringing him back up during one of Tim's segments. Man, I did like a deep dive into Stephen King's Wikipedia the other day because It Part Two is out, or I think is coming out this weekend. And
it came out, it came out Friday.
Did you see it?
Number one at the box office. Not yet.
Andrew Stolz is very into the first part of It, and I don't know if he's seen It Part Two yet, but he had me all hyped and I'm reading about it. Stephen King is a weird dude. Just reading the plot of It and the whole thing when they're stuck in the sewers is like one of the most disturbing things ever.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you got to stop. I mean, I know he's not on drugs anymore, but That was a dark time.
Yeah.
And we all just like still like him. Like, we talk about cancel culture. Mm-hmm. Stephen King was doing some weird stuff in the 70s and 80s. Just throwing it out there.
No, real bad stuff that they took out of the movies. But I it's almost, it's masked. I mean, and some of the things you're talking about are they're really gross, bad stuff with kids. And I guess if it's in a novel or something, you get this yeah. extra padding to say mm-hmm. I'm showing the evil and this and whatever, as opposed to certainly in tweets, you know, mm-hmm. people get jumped on. But it was some, you know, he crossed some weird lines, some interesting topics.
For sure. Did you guys see the story about a football game, soccer game in, I guess, Turkey? And they were panning over the crowd and showing kids and stuff. And they showed these two kids, and one of them was smoking, like light him up, like he knew what he was doing. And then Twitter flipped out and tried to figure out who it was. It turns out it was a 36-year-old man who just looked really young.
What?
I read the article like 5 times. They didn't say if he had any sort of, you know, condition that made him look extremely young, but it's jarring to see what looks like an 11-year-old boy smoking at a sporting event.
Oh. Like Webster.
Okay. Here's my...
Now I'm picturing Webster smoking.
I got this off of Reddit. What do you guys think was lame as a kid but now is cool as an adult? Kind of an interesting topic.
Oh.
For me, it's definitely napping. As a child, there's nothing more dreaded than the nap. But now if I can like find time in my life to make that happen, oh my gosh.
Napping for sure. It's funny because I think we talked about this last week too, but wristwatches, like as a kid, I was just like, those are for old men, whatever. Now I'm really into it.
Wristwatches?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Ryan?
Probably bathing.
You would be the kid who didn't like bathing.
Well, who loves taking a bath other than, I guess, my kids do.
I liked taking a bath as a kid. Tony and I have talked about this on the show before, where you get your cup in the bath. That's like the ultimate bath toy. And I would always get like piping hot water in the cup and kind of save it and disperse it in the water as I went. It's a blast,
that one,
man.
Baths?
Yeah. I fought them. Then once I got in... It was the best time because you just played, did toys and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was great once you got in. You just never wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Although my kids now are getting to the point where I'm like, hey, you guys want to play in the bath? And they're like, oh, you said play. Okay. But if I even turn the water remotely warm, they're like, it's too hot. Why are you doing this to me? And I'm like, you guys, it's barely warm.
God, this is so embarrassing. More for my... parents and me. I don't know. I was a weird mix. I was the baby by 11 years. I was a surprise. I wasn't supposed to be here. It was the 60s. In the lots of ways, my mom and dad were like, yeah, go do your thing. We'll try not to get killed. But I had this blow up pool and my parents wouldn't let me get in it until the sun had warmed it up. And I would have to get like steaming hot water to pour into it. So it was like lukewarm to warm in a little blow up kid pool in the middle of the summer.
What was the rationale behind making the pool hot?
I didn't have a lot of discussions with my parents. It wasn't, you know, like we sat down and parlayed over it. It was just, I just remember carrying a yellow bucket of, you know, warm water, and I'm like, warm enough? They're like, not yet. Maybe they're just dicking with me. Maybe they're just like it. Maybe they're just like, look, let's just...
Right, they had some other motivation. They just, the time thing, they wanted maybe to spin your wheels for a little bit.
Maybe, I don't know.
So you brought water from the house to then dump into the pool?
Yes.
I think they were probably just trying to get you to occupy your time somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Man, have you guys seen today's the big Apple event and they released photos of the iPhone 11? We're all iPhone users in here, I believe. There's 3 cameras on the back.
Why?
I don't know.
So you do Matrix stuff?
I guess so. I guess it's just to take like the best pictures ever. I don't really see the point in having a digital camera anymore because it's just getting crazy, but 3 cameras.
What else is cool about the new one?
I don't know. I'm looking at it here.
Has facial recognition caught on the way everyone thought? Is that cool? Is it great? It was such a big deal when it came out. But
do you use facial recognition on your phone, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
I know you have it.
And you like it?
I do, except that, for example, I don't know much about this, but I think I hit something that said that you have to like have your eyes open and be aware because I wouldn't want someone to like put it over me when I'm sleeping and be able to get my phone. Mm-hmm. So you would think that wearing sunglasses would do that, but it opens all the time for me with my sunglasses on. Oh. So
meaning if you were passed out, someone could put sunglasses on you.
Right.
I'm a little unclear. What does it mean that you use facial recognition? Like that's the ID that like opens your phone?
Yeah, like here you go. Oh. So I hit this. And it's looking at my face, and it opens it up, and that's all it takes.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, that seems like it would be harder than just using the fingerprint thing, which I just upgraded to.
That's not an option on mine.
Oh. What iPhone do you have?
Like a 10X, something like that.
Well, the touch is coming back with the iPhone 11, I believe.
I would prefer to use the touch.
Oh, so I guess it hasn't taken off the way they thought.
So it says it has more advanced cameras, three of them, faster chips. I don't know what that means. The new version of the operating system and perhaps new colors, including dark green. I would like a dark green iPhone. That sounds kind of cool. Yeah.
I am convinced, though, and I know that this was found to be true a couple years ago, that the iPhone was designed to start slowing down after a certain amount of time. To make you think that you needed a new phone, which is, someone should have gone to jail for that.
I agree.
No kidding.
But I still feel the same way. Like, you know, these things are so expensive that you should be able to use them for years and years and years and years. Mm-hmm. But I'm still convinced, like, mine's less than a year old, and there's plenty of storage, the whole bit, it's backed up, and I still at times feel like someone's hit a button. And making me want to take it in and say, like, okay, give me the new $1,500 one.
Give me the green one.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.